Running ragged. Start crying?
Yeah.
It's been outrageous.
A cough drop or
something.
Good morning. Actually, good afternoon. I think that's the second time I've done that. It's good morning. Good evening. This is the Monroe City Council meeting, regular business meeting for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. It's now just after 7 o'clock. Councilmember Gamble will be about an hour late, and Councilmember Gearing won't be here today due to illness, but please go ahead and call the roll, Liz.
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, and Davis.
Okay. Would everybody please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have this evening is announcements and presentations. Mike, you're going to go ahead and give a brief intro. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. On February 14th, earlier this year, staff presented a summary that's attached on the revenues and expenditures and turnout for the 2013 Monroe Music Fest event. During Council discussion on the subject, the following requests were made of staff. First was clarification on utilizing a request for proposals process if considering utilizing city funds to support a second Monroe Music Fest. And the answer to that question is that our research has revealed that while we are unaware of any state law requirement to use a bidding RFP process in selecting musicians or event organizers in this context, our adopted city procurement policies and procedures does require it. And the second question was there any economic impact tracking done for this event? And the answer is no. I did reach out to the Snohomish County Tourism Bureau and inquired if there was some sort of model or a formula that we could follow. And the response I got was not something that really that we could track with this event, being that it was unique for one night event. And then we were requested to invite musician Keith Brock to speak to council, and he is here, and I will be introducing him to you. And he will present tonight on his views on how 2013 Monroe Music Fest went, lessons learned, and any ideas he may have for a future consideration. And also to invite Doug Hobbs of Hyro Promotions and Anita Bennett from the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, the executive director, to speak to council. So they've both been invited here. I see that Annie Bennett is here, so she could answer if there were any questions you might have for her. They were asked to present written letters, which both of them did to council. That should be in your packet, on their views on how the 2013 Monroe Music Fest went, lessons learned, any ideas they may have for a future consideration. So after tonight's information, staff will put together all the lessons learned from the event and any other information requested, and look forward to this item coming back to the City Council for discussion and direction on March 18th. So with that, let me introduce to you Keith Brock. And I'm going to turn on the website, so I dim the lights here, and that's going to be part of this process.
All right. Good evening, everybody, and we're going to get this going here. Last year, I'm going to rewind all the way back to last year, just so we have clarification on what our goals for the Monroe Music Fest were, and the meaning, and you know, for those of you who weren't with us last year, how many people attended the show? Anybody? Okay. All right. So that's why I want to do a little clarification of what our goals and everything were. When we first put together the show, the idea was that we wanted to do this for the community, and with that in mind, prices were set for tickets, and free parking and free children admission were given because our number one goal wasn't exactly to go out and make a big profit our first year out, but more to put on an event that the entire community could attend regardless of their financial situations. You know, this was a gift from the city to the community, an inspiration of the town and partially my past with this town and growing up as a child, and how this community and the businesses of the community and the schools of this community helped me with a disadvantaged position in my life to become the musician that I have and the professional I have in my industry, and then bring some of that back home. You know, that was my goal, is to, you know, take that, bring it back, you know, show that people, helping people in the community, is how we build inspiration to do, you know, further things and build bigger goals, you know, and achieve these things. So that was our number one goal, as far as I was, you know, considered from the city and myself, to put on a show for the public, you know. So in doing so, some of our other goals were to involve local businesses, local vendors, you know, things that we could bring to the show and demonstrate to the community also their service, you know, and do business with the public and further their businesses with the public. Part of that also not only included our vendors, but also in filling hotel rooms and eateries and bars throughout the city before and after the show. Now, we succeeded in doing all of those things. We put people in hotel rooms. We used local businesses for our vendors who were successful in the event, even though they were procured 2 weeks before the show is even the start, which was very last minute. Those vendors were still able to, you know, profit from the event. And although attendance wasn't what we'd hoped for, those vendors, you know, like Clearview Liquor, still did well, you know. I mean, maybe not the record profits, but probably better than sitting at home on a Saturday night, you know. So we were able to involve them and you know, have production. So, Mike, can I get the photo section to just come up? None of this, so in doing so, all of our infrastructure, of course, had to be built from ground zero. We had to create a website. He's going to hit the photo button here. Oh, actually, scroll down. I'm sorry, go back to home and scroll down for me real quick. I want to show also how we've included, you know, throughout the year on the website, you know, our sponsors in the event were Evergreen Health and Walmart last year. Two nice, you know, very helpful businesses in town, and we greatly appreciated their sponsorship. Also, of course, on every page we have the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, which we pushed diligently throughout the year as well. Very happy to have John Popper, of course, join us, who's a community member as well as being world-renowned harmonica player and blues artist. He's a living legend, and it was very nice to have his participation in this as well. Moving forward to, you know, let's go into the area of the low attendance. We had lower attendance than what we had expected. This, I think, was a direct correlation of two things. Number one, first and foremost, our marketing program, which was supposed to be a grassroots marketing program, meaning that we were to use our vendors for the event, such as our liquor company, which would have been Clearview Wine and Liquor, Wine and Spirits, and our other vendors, our food vendors, throughout the course of the year to help market the event. In which we would have used postcards and posters. I'm going to have Terry here. He's going to pass along the lines of some of our promotional stuff that we did come up with, and you'll see pass those down the line. You know, very nice stuff. Very cost efficient in printing this information up. It was just a matter of distribution to the public and getting awareness that the event was to happen. We needed more exposure than we got. If you asked 10 people of Monroe about this event, and if they knew it was taking place, you would probably only get about 3 people that would have said yes. Now, that's just for our immediate area. So, outside there, less of a chance, of course, that things would have been, known about. So, I can say that the city did a magnificent job with the staff and the city staff to do some of the marketing. And I think you can see by our numbers that some of that marketing was very effective because we did have 700 people attend, so we can't say that there was no interest in the event, because 700 people coming out in the community for a very first time thing with low marketing is definitely not bad. It was a success. And even more so than that, if you asked all of the 700 people that were there, you would have heard the same thing come from everybody, that the show was amazing, that they were completely blown away by what was produced, as a concert and here in their own backyard. And I think that the buzz about the event was like triple what it was before, just by the word of mouth, of course, with people going out to the public and saying like, hey, did you have a chance to attend this? I mean, we had Grammy award-winning performers in our own backyard, playing Walfredo Reyes Jr., our drummer. If you watch the Grammys this year, he was playing with Chicago and Alan Thicke on the Grammys. Robin Thicke, yeah. And so, quite a list of people, to have in the park and not, have the attendance, of course, that we, anticipated or hoped for. How do we fix that? It's very simple. It's a simple fix, This year, retain the vendors right away. Don't wait 2 weeks before the event. We get them right now. We already have, I believe, Clearview, which is a very integral part of the show. It was our beer and wine garden put on by the Chamber of Commerce, and it was outrageously successful. People loved it. The only comment that we had was that, let's move it over, let's center it up so, people don't have to watch from the side, But they were busy all night long. Clearview had to go back. Luckily, they're right across the street. They had to go back over a couple of times to get, more liquor. And so, that showed that that was great. And it was peaceful. It was very peaceful. We had, no incidences, really. I think we had one gentleman that might have needed to go. But other than that, it was extremely, peaceful. And that's exactly, of course, what we were hoping for. And God, it's just so simple. I mean, if more people knew about it, it would have been there, and it would have been a larger success. I looked at, our towns, to the side of us, Sultan with the Sultan Shindig, that's been very successful with that for how long? I don't even know. It's a long time. Same thing with the Klaha days over in Snohomish. They've been, successful with that for a number of years as well. So, Why can't we be successful with world-class entertainers, in our backyard? The answer is we absolutely can be successful with this. We just got to get the people to know about it. I think the biggest point I can bring, to it. I think this year we'll have an additional sponsorship. I think we'll have more money in sponsorships. One big thing I want to bring to you guys is that one of the snafus was also in the lighting portion and cost of that show. I already have a guarantee that $6,000 will be chopped from the lighting budget. Okay? So we'll bring that down a substantial amount and get that, you know, more under control. We had a charge for $2,000 for a grounding, and that should have never taken place, you know. And plus, you know, like I said, it's definitely my goal too to look into, you know, other areas that we can hopefully cut down on, you know, purchasing airline tickets, you know, ahead of time to cut those, you know, down, things like that. So, you know, I can cut things in small areas, but I definitely know that the lighting budget is a big one. $6,000, I can guarantee, will come out of that budget, you know. So we'll be down to $5,000. And most importantly, out of anything, like I say, you know, marketing. Let's obtain our vendors right away so that we can have that whole summer for them to help advertise with us. You know, the pizza box tops were a huge thing that we thought we were going to be going out at the end of summer. Once again, we weren't able to get that happening until 2 weeks before. So. Not enough time. You know, we kept on saying, hey, where's our advertising? And it just didn't get happening until, you know, the last minute. Also important to note, because it was the second thing that I felt that had to do with attendance, was of course it rained up until 11:30, you know. And for folks around here, I noticed that they like to start their day real early, and by 11:30, for a lot of people, that's you know, half their day. So in the half the day, they say, "Oh, geez, are we going to sit out in the rain, you know, for the show?" You know, I guarantee that affected some of our attendance as well. So, you know, although after that it cleared and ended up being a gorgeous evening and a perfect evening to put the show on. So, you know, so that being said, I believe that's. The things I have to bring to you. Any questions for me, by council or the mayor?
Council, do you have any questions? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Mr. Brock, thanks for coming and speaking to us. You know, you spoke a lot about, you know, how do we fix it? Retain vendors, get the word out. You know, they'll come if they know. But I guess I'm just not hearing any specifics on what you mean by that. I mean, how are you getting the word out, or how are you going to get the word out if this goes through?
Okay, very easily answered. Those cards that you have, you know, right in front of you, you know, our vendors, such as, you know, the liquor company, and you know, the pizza places, you know, they would put a card in every bag throughout the summer, you know, to customers who come in. You know, there's posters up in their stores and whatnot that you know, tell about the event. The event's right across the street. You know, come on by. You know, here's what's going on. Boom, that goes in their bag throughout the entire summer. I'd imagine, you know, you'd have several thousand people at each vendor at the very least. You know, pizza boxes going out, same thing. If it's not that postcard, it's an advertisement, you know, that basically looks like that goes out on the pizza boxes. How many pizza boxes go out, you know, all summer long? You know, quite a few, you know, several thousand at least, right? Those things, you know, with our vendors helping us do that, you know, I believe that's how you would make a grassroots program with low, you know, money marketing. You know, because you can go to TV and radio, you know, and things like that, and that's great, but that's big dollar stuff, you know. And we believe that there's enough interest, you know, in our community and whatnot to do a more grassroots program and not spend as much on marketing, but still get the same results. But it has to happen, you know, with time and with the participation of our vendors, you know, so that we're all promoting the event together, you know, at one time throughout the community. We do have you know, of course, brochures. This is where the city did a fantastic job last year with you know, the parks brochure. some of the other brochures. There was a water district, mailer that went out to things like that. That were tremendously helpful. I believe the chamber helped us get in the Country Living magazine or whatnot. And of course, you know, the chamber with local businesses. Those things, you know, people did hear. You know, it was somewhat effective. You know, so we just need, you know, more of that. I believe, you know, more interaction with our vendors and with our community, you know, to get that stuff out. Also, last year, the idea of, you know, some banners up on Highway 2 in the parks, but we didn't get that happening until, you know, once again, towards the end. But that, you know, that's going to help as well, you know. Anything that you know, sticks out in front of people and makes them, you know, remember, hey, oh, that's right, this is going on. But, I mean, a direct, you know, hand-to-hand thing from our vendors saying, hey, come out to this event. It's going to be, you know, something special, you know. That's big, I think, you know. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, that's what I'm trying to bring is a less expensive way of marketing that can be effective.
And so you've mentioned vendors a few times, but the only vendor you've mentioned that I heard is Clearview possibly being committed. I mean, are there any other vendors or businesses that you approached?
I believe that the our vendors that we had last year, which were very successful, there was the taco truck that was that people loved, and I heard all good things about. We had ice cream and things Doug could elaborate a little bit more. Our vendors did a pretty good job, you know, overall last year, and people were very happy with the services. I would like to, you know, retain a lot of those and see if we can improve, you know.
How about additional sponsors?
Additional sponsorships?
I mean, have you reached out to anyone? Has anyone committed, saying?
Nothing definite, but I'm hearing more things, you know, than because of the buzz from last year. You know, I'm hearing, you know, more interest, you know, from more local businesses that, you know, since now people know, you know, oh, something good happened, you know, this was something of interest. See, now, you know, I think it'll be more likely that people will want to jump on board, you know.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, thank you for coming tonight. I wasn't able to make it last year. I was really hoping to, but I heard everything positive about the event itself. Last year, we were taking a gamble because we had never done this before, and so everyone up here knew that we were going into this kind of blind. We're going to do the best we can, and we thought at that time that it was worth the risk that we took. And so now we know we've done it one time. And so I guess the concern that I have going forward, and I guess it's not really a question, but just a concern to bring up, is we did this last year, so now we have some track history. We know numbers. We know real costs, things like that. So going forward, I find it very difficult for us to authorize spending a large amount of money, anything similar to what we did last year, knowing that there's not, you know, at least I haven't heard so far from the questions that you just answered for Councilmember Rasmussen, there's not a definite plan. Who's the one in charge of the whole event? Who's lining up the sponsors? You're saying, you know, you believe you'll get more and you'll have some, but we're mid-March now and we're talking about a September event or possibly during the summer and because of better weather. So what's that, 4 months away? 4 or 5 months away. And at least in my experience, this is like the time, this is the prime time right now where things should all be lined up, sponsors, vendors, the flyers, you know, going out to the pizza places and all the other ideas. In my mind, those should all be like deciding like right now. And so For myself, I'm just hesitant to say, yeah, I'm willing to go, you know, let's do this again, without having things that are totally set in place. And it's plain to see, yeah, we have a great plan. We have someone in charge. We have these people lined up. So just so you know, that's
kind of
where I'm coming from.
Answer to that. I believe that most of the infrastructure is already in place. You know, the website is set. We're basically using, and this is once again to, you know, cut some of our costs. It won't be some of the, you know, the exact same cost of last year in this area, because the website's already built. The layout for all of the marketing will roughly stay, you know, the same. And so that's all done and ready to act. You know, it just needs a new date. And I believe as far as our vendors, I believe that the ones that we did have last year would be very willing to participate again, and be happy to know, you know, that we have now five. I believe if we use the same date, I think we have 5 months, yes? April, May,
six.
June, July. Yeah.
6 months.
And so I definitely believe that's enough time to do it. As far as making sure, you know, that the vendors are in place, I would like to take the lead on making sure that that happens. I will make sure that it's done 2 weeks from now, you know, not 2 weeks before the event. You know, and I will solidify the vendors and give everybody notice of exactly what's happening, and that they have been solidified, and we can now, you know, move forward with that, you know, with the marketing program. The box tops, all that stuff, all those templates, you know, they're all ready to go. All we have to do is send them to print, you know, and that's that, you know. As far as other roles, you know, the city knows, especially I think Mike, after, you know, being through this last year, exactly, you know, what we need to do. You know, the staging that's there, you know, the tents, the things like that, that's all an easy one for him, I'm sure, you know. So those things are rock and roll and ready to go. And so I don't think that there's any really unknown territories this year other than, you know, our additional sponsorships, you know, which, you know, I'm sure, you know, the city, you know, the chamber, myself, you know, will all be, you know, talking to the businesses that we know, and you know, trying to get better sponsorship, you know, more. I think we had two nice, you know, companies involved with this, you know, last year, I would hope for, you know, their continuation with us and a chance for everybody, you know, to do well. You know, the other thing that I would probably, my last comment that I would like to say is, I look at this exactly like this. You know, you take a fruit tree and you plant it for the first year, and when you go out that summer, if it's not yielding any fruit, do you cut it down? You throw it on the burn pile and that's it, you know? My belief is that the fruit tree has to be, you know, fertilized and watered, you know, so that it can grow. And with the help of the bees, you know, that, you know, the following year you see some fruit on it, you know, and that's, you know, it's you know, I think that the numbers, you know, by the attendance last year showed an interest from people that were there. 700 people walked away going, oh, wow, that was fantastic. You know, let's let more people know, you know, and I think you'll be surprised at the results. I know I would have my 110%, you know, participation all year through, as it did last year, you know, and you know, to see it all the way through.
Sure. Thank you. We'll be talking about it next week, so we can talk about all of the other questions at that time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Any other council members with questions? Okay. Thank you very much for taking the time and presenting.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item on the agenda is public hearing. This is AB 14044, ordinance number 003-2014. amending MMC 5.02, business licenses, and 6.04040, public nuisances, offending morals and decency. This is an opportunity for public testimony, and the first person that I have on a list here is Michael Hanford. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Would I be able to postpone my sharing till after a few more
votes? I'm fine with that, yes. The next person on the list is Jacob Sando, or Sands. Can you please come forward and state your name for the record?
Gary.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
My name is James Sando. My address is 5407 228th
Street, South
East.
Thank you. Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to share today about this ordinance, and thank you for setting this up. I'm here to speak against legalizing the sale of marijuana in our city. I'm going to talk about the effect it's had on driving, crime, and finally I will touch on how it affects our youth. So, since legalizing marijuana, DUIs involving THC, which is the active ingredient, have gone up by over 50%. It's also harder to trace the level of marijuana that is in the bloodstream of the drivers, and it also lingers after their high is ended, and so that would be an issue with that. As far as crime, if we look to Amsterdam as one of the first cities to legalize the sale of recreational marijuana, we can see that the crime rate didn't necessarily go down after legalizing it, yet it shifted its focus to the coffee houses where this was being sold. And so it's my belief that if we were to legalize the sale of marijuana, it's not going to stop the crime. It's instead going to shift it, just the manifestation of the crime. Lastly, the way that this affects our youth is going to be devastating in the way that there's a healthy youth survey that's being conducted at Monroe High School, and recently, they conducted the survey, and the perception among the youth is that because it's legal, it's safe. And legalizing the sale of it in Monroe will only further this perception and further expose the children and youth in our city to this drug, which has been scientifically proven to transform the brain in unhealthy ways. Youth will be more heavily targeted by illegal drug sellers and gangs. The sales would eliminate illegal selling to adults. However, it would shift the focus of illegal selling to youth by making them the targets, and it'd make the drug more easily accessible. Finally, this issue requires further research. We need to study other places where this has been legalized. So Colorado would be a great place to start. We could look and see how it's affecting the cities there. Substance and Alcohol Abuse Prevention Coalition has also offered their services in researching effects, and we definitely hope the council is taking them up on this. So I'd just like to leave with a question, and that is, are we willing to put our youth at risk when we don't know all the facts? And could it hurt to wait till we have more research and solid evidence for this before we make that decision? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I was a little off in that I didn't have staff come up and give a presentation before we started public hearing. So I'd like to invite Paul to come up and just give a brief presentation. A presentation was done on this last week as part of the first reading, but I just want to make certain that presentation has been done for other folks that are in the room.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay. A quick overview. We did meet last week and council did a first reading on changes to the municipal code that would require that all businesses including marijuana businesses, but all businesses to comply with local, state, and federal law. There was another section of another ordinance, or another section of the code being revised that would classify any business in violation as a nuisance, which would give the city a means to abate that or solve the problem. It also includes an appeal mechanism for if I apply for a business license and refuse, I can choose to appeal that through the through the courts. So tonight is public hearing. We had two public hearings earlier this year, January, February, related to our zoning regulations for marijuana businesses, which we did adopt and are in place. And tonight is the public hearing specifically about these two sections of the code that were changed, but obviously it does have effect on marijuana-related businesses. I believe that covers it.
Before we return to public hearing, are there any questions from staff or points of clarification for staff? Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Okay, we're going to resume the public hearing. The next person that I have on the list is Jalen Longsign. Please come up and state your name properly so that I know how to say it next time. And your address, please.
Hi, I'm Jalen Longsign, and I am against the legalization of recreational marijuana because I believe that we not only need to think about the effect this will have on this generation in the next couple of years, but also what it will do for the coming generation. And will it affect the way that they look at problems and that come into our community, and will it make them want to take the drug or whatever instead of coming to the conclusions of finding solutions to in our community? And I just believe that it will hinder their ability to come to those solutions that will help our community for the good. Thank you.
Next person that I have on the list is Dale Taylor. Mr. Taylor, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Dale Taylor. I live at 17922 131st Place. And I'm that old guy that's been here a couple of times. And 81 years ago, I was born and raised here in town, and I know a lot of people, been here that long, talked to a lot of them about this very issue, and most of them, with the exception of one, has said, why Monroe? Why are we doing this? And that was a good question. They vehemently oppose the sale of recreational marijuana in our community, and all basically on the moral, ethical, and integrity of our community, which I think is the most important thing we have to look at, is our moral, ethical, integrity of our community. We have to look down the road at, is this the best thing that our community can offer all its citizenship? Even people my age, I mean, you know, I'm ready to give up and give up the ghost. But, I think, you know, morally, it's wrong. It's just not right. And that's the extent of my comment, and I just think that I thank you guys for hearing us again and considering it all.
Thank you.
The next person I have on the list is Sandy Messenbrink. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Sandy Messenbrink. I live at 11925 205th Drive Southeast in Snohomish. I would like to thank the council for having this meeting to discuss this important issue regarding Initiative 502. And once again, thank the city for making the insightful and correct choice to deny the issuing of the marijuana dispensary licenses in the city of Monroe. There will be unintended consequences on the horizon directly at the hand of the passage of 502. This mostly from the purposeful hiding of vital information regarding the legalization of marijuana. The first unintended consequences of the opening of the marijuana dispensaries will be the increase in accidents on the local highway. Monroe has Highway 2 running right through it, and as everyone is already aware, it already has a very high death rate. Before the passage of 502, this rate was unacceptable. Will the higher death rate that is coming become more acceptable for the sake of cyclists and recreational users? Already in Washington State, legalized recreational pot has seen more than 1,300 drivers test positive for marijuana in 2013. This is almost a 25% increase than in 2012. Is a 25% increase in the death rate on Highway 2 going to be acceptable? Who in this room that voted for the passage of 502 is going to take on the burden of apologizing to families for the deaths of loved ones that occurred at the hand of a driver under the influence of marijuana? Who in this room that voted for the passage of 502 is going to admit to these same families that they were partially responsible for their vote and that they encourage others to vote for it as well? How many deaths on the highways in Washington need to occur before those that voted for it will decide that 502 needs to be repealed? For those of you that are wondering about occurrences in the state of Colorado, the Colorado State Patrol just started keeping track in January when retail sales began, and the State Patrol recorded 61 total drivers impaired by any and all drugs or alcohol. Out of these 61 impaired drivers, 31 were marijuana-only impaired drivers, which is over 50% of the total. The second unintended consequences for the approval of marijuana dispensary licenses is going to be the increased targeting of young people. As anyone that has had a business will tell you, success comes not with just repeat business, but also an increase in one's customer base. This will occur with very little effort on the side of the dispensaries due to the fact that most young people travel and hang out in groups. If even only one person goes into the dispensary to purchase products with a group of friends, the natural curiosity of these young people with them, in many cases, overrides the values and common sense that they have had before they walked in the door and boom, instant customers. With the youth, education will suffer. The testing scores of K-12 and many college-educated in the United States are already far behind those of other developed countries, and the scores are very likely not going to increase once that legal marijuana comes to market. Several businesses in this country are finding it necessary to seek outside the United States to get the quality, educated employees that are necessary for the success of their businesses. It is the responsibility of all the businesses, as well as the government officials who are concerned about creating and maintaining quality and high-paying jobs in the locale of their residences, to recognize that having readily available marijuana is a hindrance for this to occur. And speaking of businesses, this brings me to a third unintended consequence of 502. Employers will now have to deal with an increase in tardiness, absences, and accidents. Increases in tardiness, absences, and accidents lead to an increased cost of liability insurance and labor and industry insurance. These increases take money out of the coffers of businesses that could be used in the form of higher wages and or better benefits. Increases to the cost of businesses decrease businesses' spending power in the form of purchasing of goods, building improvements and upgrades, and contributions to charities and nonprofits. There will definitely be an increase in the termination levels, and several businesses will find it necessary to start to prevent lawsuits by instituting drug screening. And I do not need to remind many in this room that most of the pro-pot proponents are adamantly against drug screening and refer to it as discriminatory. The fourth and final consequence I wish to discuss is something that is occurring in the state of Colorado and relates back to the first consequence. Colorado is spending $1 million on television ads to make fun of marijuana users who space out during everyday tasks Included in this is an effort to stop stone driving. Colorado's $1 million ad campaign, which began yesterday, March 10th, comes from a federal grant from the National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration. Wasting federal grant money is an unacceptable situation and diverts money from transportation items such as congestion, upgrades, expansions, and repairs.
Ms. Messenbrick, I'm going to need to ask you to wrap up.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can wrap up with a closing.
I would like to thank the city for taking the time for this, and hopefully you'll keep down the same path. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanford, would you like to come forward? Please state your name and address for the record.
Michael Hanford, 19832 143rd Street Southeast.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank the council for your responsiveness to the public testimony in creating the two ordinances that have been created. And I wanted to also encourage you to continue to pursue documenting the concerns that have been expressed with studies and various things that substantiate what the concerns are. Things like what we've just heard and other things. I would encourage you to utilize Dave Ketchell and the other people of expertise on the Substance and Alcohol Abuse Prevention Coalition that has been offered to you. Especially studies even from our local law enforcement, national law enforcement, and even international studies. What the effects and implications have been in other places, studying other cities, including Amsterdam, as well as Colorado and other cities in Washington. And then I would encourage you to let me go back to part of your ordinance that you've created. It's a great ordinance. You say, whereas public comment presented at a series of public hearings in the city of Monroe indicate the strong concern and opposition of citizens regarding the establishment of a business selling marijuana in violation of federal law and the potential impact of that business upon the city and its citizens. Again, I would encourage there to be references somehow to fact-based reporting and studies so that it's not just opinion and feeling based, but it's based on, that's important, the opinions and opposition of the citizens, but if it's just that and it's not fact-based, I think you're missing something. I would appeal that you consider that. The fifth thing I'd like to say is that there's a perception, as evidenced by the responses to the Healthy Youth Survey, that there is an enforcement problem or there's a non-enforcement issue in Monroe and in other places, but this specific one is for Monroe. The kids don't feel that schools will enforce, law enforcement will enforce punishing them. They won't get in trouble for using marijuana. And that's not true, but that's a perception by a majority or a startling percentage, let's say, of the youth. I think this has to do, I think one of the things that this community could do and that you could lead the way in doing, in addition to the ordinances, is somehow increasing public awareness of the laws, the existing laws, what will happen if, and what are the laws, so that the youth of our community will understand that for youth and for adults, what are the laws in our community? Where can't you use marijuana as an adult? Where can you use marijuana as an adult? What happens? And, you know, the laws need to be publicized so that there's not this perception out there of, well, you're not going to get in trouble. So thank you again for all your work on this and for listening to many hours of public testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak? Come forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, Council. It's good to see you again. My name is Nicholas Barrett. I live at 24716 Cromwell Road, Monroe. I'm here on behalf of my father as well, who unfortunately was sick, like a member of your council. I'm here to represent as well medical patients, not recreational users. This is something, two different worlds that we're dealing with here. And I don't necessarily agree with recreation use, but I feel like it's a violation of what we already have. You know, we've had medicinal rights for 15 years or so in the state of Washington. And to take away medicinal and move to recreational is kind of a bad move, because these people are limited to a certain amount in this new recreational law, which unfortunately, excuse my shaky voice. It unfortunately, the amount does not sustain a medical user. It's not enough for a medical user, is what I'm trying to say, because they're taking away tincture extracts, you know, things that are non-psychoactive. I don't know if you know this, but THC is the only psychoactive compound in marijuana. And right now, in the state of California, the state of Colorado, in the country of Uruguay, who just legalized marijuana, they've been studying the other compound that is the most prevalent in marijuana, aside from THC, it's CBD. It's non-psychoactive. It's a powerful anti-inflammatory. It's among many other things. I just hate to see, once again, I want to keep it brief, but I just hate to see us lose more of our rights, you know, to explore, like these other gentlemen have said, to study this plant. You know, it has many mysteries, and it has a lot of contradictory information. And I urge you to search for yourselves, because obviously the information is out there, and you're all capable of doing this. I thank you for your time and letting me speak once again. I just want to be here on behalf of the medical users who are being almost shafted from I-502, but I just hate to see them lose any more than that. One more thing, I mentioned last week when I was here, that there are terminally ill and homebound patients in this city right here, and they rely on individuals from their family members to travel to these out of the city dispensaries to obtain the medicine. I think that's unnecessary. I think that it should be available to them at, you know, a minimal distance. It shouldn't be a hassle for them and their parents or their sister or the brother to get the medicine for them. I think that it should be more readily available for them. And I thank you for your time. I want you to research for yourself the medicinal effects and medicinal users, epileptics, Alzheimer's, dementia. You find out that the amazing effect that it has on our neurons, what it does to rebuild our receptors from neuron pathways, which is the main cause of dementia and Alzheimer's. If you don't know that, plaque builds up and blocks those receptors. THC, which is a psychoactive part of cannabis, has been known to destroy the plaque and rebuild the new neurons. Once again, this information is out there for you to find yourself. What else do I have to say? Yes, there's one more thing. The NFL, if you follow football, they're actually debating and have been talking about repealing the marijuana. You know, it's been, you know, no football players have been able to use it. And in fact, because of that extreme effect that it has on their on a football. Okay, let me rephrase this. Football player, they're told to hit somebody. They use their head. It damages them. There are a number of football players who have dementia, Alzheimer's from trauma to their brain. The NFL have even stated that they're looking to change this. That they're looking to have NFL players be using marijuana because it can rebuild and repair those cells. Thank you for your time once again. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this ordinance? Okay, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. And before...
I'm 168th Avenue Southeast. I'm back again.
Before you... And this won't count against your time. Could we let the record show that Councilmember Gamble entered the room and he was actually in the lobby listening about 5 minutes ago? Thank you. Please continue. Sorry.
I'm back again. I'm asking the city to change their mind on how they are planning on voting on the license and changing the amendment. I'm here to say that I voted for 502. A lot of people in Monroe voted for 502. I'm going to remind you that 9 out of the 12 precincts, the majority voted yes. I'm here to hit that sore spot. I've been told over and over that I'm hitting. I would like for Monroe to learn from their past mistakes, financial mistakes. Again, I'm going to bring up those traffic cameras. You decided to put them in. We decided we didn't want them. There was litigation. The people want it cost the city money. I know that's a sore subject. I've been told that. The point is, it's a mistake that we need to learn from. And when I say that, I'm saying the people voted, and the people said, yes, we want 502. If you decide to amend the way you hand out business licenses, keep in mind, you've already zoned for this. If you go ahead and you amend that now we don't want this because of federal, that's basically helping set you up for litigation. There's a new word that I learned. And it's my word of the day, and it's torturous interference. You can look this term up. It's basically knowingly going to block a business, a profitable business, from opening. And that's exactly what you guys are going about doing. You've been in a moratorium, but these business licenses have been applied for since December. Now you have your moratorium. You've already done the zoning, and now you're wanting to change how you issue your business license only because of the one law. 502. You don't like it. I don't necessarily like church, but I don't want to ban them. I don't like tattoos. I don't say, let's ban all the tattoo parlors. What you do is you don't go into the businesses. If you don't like them, don't go into the businesses. Don't give them any money. Don't take any of the profits. I'm here to say that we have voted. We voted. People voted. It's legal. It's the law. I would feel that these businesses have the right to open under Washington state law legal business. I'd also like to remind everybody that people might not be showing up here to these meetings, but if you go to social media and you look at what's being said, look at the Monroe Monitor, the articles, look at the comments that are being said, the people in this town are for this. You have some that aren't, but a majority of the people, when you read the comments, are for 502. I would love to see the city and the businesses that do end up with these licenses from the state, and yes, they're issued through the lottery, through the state, work together. Instead of fighting each other, instead of coming in with an attitude, we don't want you, why don't you kind of embrace and try and work together and avoid any litigation? Because again, I hate to remind you, there will be litigation. And if this litigation has to go to a state court, I can almost guarantee you that the state would win. Can we afford that much money? There's one retail store. I don't know how many you're talking for processors, how many you're talking for growers. One retail store is one lawsuit. Then you would have multiple lawsuits from these other businesses. Can we afford it? Do we want to bankrupt Monroe because we don't want to go forward and accept this Washington state law with these lawsuits? We've learned from litigation that Monroe doesn't necessarily win. We've learned that from the license. I believe there was another lawsuit. There was another lawsuit that cost the city $250,000. Do we really want to keep going to litigation? Do we really want to keep having the taxpayers pay for this? Let it go, Monroe. let it go, embrace the change, work with the change. It's the law. It's been voted on by the majority. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any of the, is there anybody else who would like to speak on this? Anybody? Okay. Council. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. All the any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. 6-0. Okay. Council discussion on the public hearing.
Yeah. Do I still have the floor? Sorry.
Yes, I'll accept your light since I didn't turn it on.
Thank you.
Still have the floor.
It was brought up about the study with the Substance and Alcohol Abuse Prevention Coalition. Dave Ketchel and I believe we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and maybe you could refresh my memory, but someone was going to contact them and reach out so that we could get that study going, because we talked about that up here. I don't know if anybody remembers exactly who was going to...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I don't remember what you were talking about specifically.
Dave Ketchel from the Substance Abuse Prevention Council had come a couple of public hearings ago. Mm-hmm. And said that they were willing to do a study for us to help give us some data and some figures like we were being asked for. And we talked about that since they offered that we should probably take them up on that and contact them, and that would be a good idea. So at least my understanding was that someone from city staff was going to contact them and pursue that.
We'll follow up on that this week.
Exactly.
Because we definitely want that study.
Okay.
So I think that'll give us the information that people are asking for.
Okay.
That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Any other items, Council? Okay. I don't see any other lights. So the requested action then is after public testimony, close the citizen testimony portion of the hearing. The next item is after council discussion on the public hearing, close the public hearing. Do I see a motion to close the public hearing? Councilmember Gamble.
Well, I don't have a motion, but I'm going to comment. And I'll
okay.
just
yeah.
reiterate from the last time around that, you know, there's potential litigation no matter which way we go on this. And, you know, I know that we've talked it several times, and I know it's, you know, it's been brought up in public testimony. You know, say, hey, let's learn from the past. Let's not, you know, have litigation. Or hey, would you please just keep us out of it? And it's one of those things that, you know, when I look at what is the thing that we're going to be the least liable as a city, what's put us in the safest position to defend, quite frankly, because for some reason. People like to sue us on some of this stuff. If we use the traffic cameras as an example, that is one that went, you know, all the way through, and the city was found in the right. But we did, you know, we still held the public, you know, vote, the advisory vote, and we reversed it, even though the city was found in the right when it went through that, you know, process.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one of those situations where, hey, we're going to make a decision, and there's potentially going to be legal on both sides. Me personally, when I look at it, you know, I don't know if, you know, I want to be in violation of a federal law. That's something that we continue to look at. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to accept second and final reading.
Point of order,
I'll make a motion to close the public. Second. Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Gamble to close the public hearing, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the item? Before we go to that, Councilmember Rasmussen, did you have anything on the motion?
Yeah. Excuse me.
This is the public hearing motion.
Sorry.
This is the public hearing motion.
Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Later. that's it.
You want to do it for later?
Yeah.
Did Councilmember Camp press your light?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a first and we have a second on a motion to close the public hearing. No discussion on the topic. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. All right. The next requested action, Councilmember Camp.
Actually, I believe it's Councilmember Rasmussen is next.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I must have pressed his. I'm good.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
You flip a coin.
I will take it.
Yes.
I just want to echo the comments of Councilmember Gamble regarding the gray area. Again, red light cameras were a gray area. The state didn't know. We didn't know. And the courts finally decided. If anything is even possibly grayer, it would be this issue. We don't know. The state doesn't know. The federal government doesn't know. And the court hasn't decided. I believe this protects us as best we can. And follows the wishes, as far as I've been able to tell, from the our citizens, and puts us in a position we can change minds and change the direction of the city at any time. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, just to echo, we've talked about this Teller Blue already, but last week was brought up as well that when we took this office, it was to uphold state and federal laws. And without doing this route, we can't honestly sleep at night knowing that we did our duty if we don't uphold state and federal laws. And so just to expand on what you said, and that's the point. That's one of the reasons why we want to adopt this. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, and thank you, both council members. And it puts us in a position, that's why we did the zoning, that if it is resolved and that discrepancy comes away, then we're in line to issue licenses, and I think it's our best defensible position as a as a city. So with that, I want to make the motion to adopt as second and final reading ordinance number 003-2014, amending MMC 5.02 business licenses and 6.04.040 public nuisance, offending morals and decency.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I just want to make a couple comments about why I'm voting for this ordinance. And I want to thank all the people who have come tonight and expressed their opinions. I really do listen, and I do appreciate it. Just a couple comments. Nicholas, I appreciated your comments. My husband attained his PhD at UW. And in his research, it was cannabis. And it was specifically on cancer of the brain, and he continues to do research on brain issues, and so I'm aware of the possibilities around that. That doesn't influence me enough, though, to vote against the ordinance we have before us. My main issue with allowing recreational marijuana has to do with the conflict with federal law. People, when they spoke over the last couple weeks, months actually, in the public hearing, compared marijuana to alcohol, and both being a drug, and alcohol's legal, and it's just as bad for kids and causes lots of problems. But the fact is that alcohol is legal by federal standards, and marijuana is not. We are seeing, the law, the issue constantly evolving on the effects of legalizing recreational marijuana. There could be federal money that states don't get because it's legal in that state. They were talking about the banks, FDIC, and how do businesses that aren't federally legal, how does that affect their ability to deposit in banks that are federally insured?
So there's just constant issues that are evolving that we're not even aware of. And I think sometimes when community members and residents and citizens pass initiatives, they don't necessarily look at all the issues and how that can affect things in years to come. And part of our job up here, and I know we all take this very seriously, we have been elected by the people to make decisions on their behalf, to listen to them, but to also look at all the information that we have. And sometimes we are privy to a lot more information than the average resident. And there has to be a trust there that we are looking at that information and making a good decision for the residents based on all the information we have. And that is my biggest concern. I see kids that come into my place of business that have been smoking underage. I see the problem in the community with marijuana, with alcohol, with lots of things. But my main reason for supporting this ordinance tonight really is the conflict with federal law and how I believe that is going to continue to evolve and cause problems that we didn't even think about when Initiative 502 was passed. So that is my main reason for voting for this ordinance tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Being the newest council member up here, I've had the probably least amount of time to discuss this topic, but since I've been up, it's certainly engulfed a lot of my time up here and a lot of our discussion. And in preparing to sit up here, there was a lot of conversation I had with community members and businesses and just about this very topic, and it was clear that there was a lot of confusion. It's clear that a lot of people I spoke to were just like me, that when 502 was on the ballot, it looked a lot different than it does today. Mm-hmm. And there's no question about it. And you know, a lot of the stuff that's out there that we're reading today is different, and it's very confusing and very convoluted. Marijuana is something that it is used quite frankly no matter where you go, and my personal opinion is that it will continue to be used to some degree. Doesn't mean that we necessarily legalize it. I think to some degree it probably is embraced to a point within the communities. But after looking at all the information, I think and trying to decipher the actual facts that we have, there's two really main ones that I can come up with are that it's still illegal based off federal standards, and yes, the voters did approve it. Everything else in between is very confusing, and I think it's just for us and for me to make the decision to say let's go one way or another is very difficult. And so that is why I'm voting no for it, because I want to see some additional facts. I want to see what happens in Colorado. Be honest with you, they've only had 1 month of reported numbers, good and bad. I want to learn from them a little bit more. I want more facts before, you know, I really can support something like this. And so, you know, that is why I am supporting our decision on our licensing. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other discussion, we're going to go ahead and call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. I'm sorry, ordinance passes 6-0. Thank you, everybody, for speaking and for your consideration on this topic. The next item that we have is comments from citizens. Those people wishing to come forward to speak to council may do so on any issue except for any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Is there a sign-in sheet for people? Nope. Is there anybody who would like to come forward and speak during public comment? Anik, come forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
It's good.
It is on. It's good. Yeah. Okay, Annie Bennett, 125 South Lewis Street, Monroe. I am just going to kind of urge the council to really listen to the presentation this evening. I didn't hear a presentation. I heard a very brief recap of last year's events for Music Fest. I heard more of the same, and frankly, with being on the doing the work that we did last year on Music Fest, it was very much like that. We'll get around to it. We'll grab the lowest hanging fruit, keep the box tops, handing posters out. Didn't work last year. Please consider that it's not going to be different this year. I work with vendors. I ask them to please participate. The hours were wrong. They weren't interested in trying to invest all the money and the time that they needed for a five-hour event. They need full-day events. They need to be able to sell a lot over a long period of time to make it worth their while. There weren't a lot of vendors last year because there weren't, like I said, it was just very difficult to recruit them. The folks that did come, several of them were mobile, so they weren't having infrastructure of restaurants to be passing out flyers throughout the summer. The idea of using our vendors to promote an event of this scale and having that be the best plan is lacking. I don't understand that if it's this important to the community that the person who does guarantee to be paid isn't presenting you with an event plan with a mission and a way to make it pay. I, as the director of the chamber, take issue with it. This is for really truly for the community. If that's really the truth, then doesn't the community deserve a solid plan? Don't we deserve a way to understand what the deliverables would be, who the target would be? The vision of this event is very narrow. It's very scripted around Mr. Brock's vision. Not necessarily open to the kind of elements that would allow it to grow, that would allow it to have sponsorship interest and support. And that's just the bottom line. We're not talking about is the city of Monroe and its community open to cultural events? Absolutely. That is not an issue here. Was it a good event? That's also not an issue. But being responsible with public funds and building trust of the community and thinking things through, at the very minimum, there should have been some sort of a professional plan developed. This was a recap of last year. And a pretty generalized one to say that in a couple of weeks you might have some vendors on board. Well, why wasn't that presented tonight to everybody? Urge you, please, to in the packet there's an event template, like a good basic template. Please consider it and look at those questions that are normally answered by any committee or board or authority that would be vetting an event like this. I just urge you to please do that. For us, for the community, and for the good of events like this moving forward. That's the only thing.
Thank you.
Councilmember Anik, if you could stay up. I know a presentation was done earlier, topics related to that. You were one of the partners in the event. So Councilmember Hanford has a question.
Yeah, just a comment. Thank you very much. I got your attachments in the list there. And that was very helpful. Helped shine a lot of light and brought up questions that were good and need to be addressed. So I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak?
Not on the list, but I'll come up. I'm Lisa Caldwell. I've been with Emeritus at Monroe for 11 years. This is my first year actually on the Monroe Chamber of Commerce Board, so I'm really excited about that, although we have been members for 19 years. I have the same, I came in at the end of this last year with the Music Fest, and I think that that is, I have the same concerns that Anique has. A lot of times the chamber is kind of asked to be the muscles and the brawn and putting things like this together, and quite often there's not a plan, and I think that any marketers market, vendors vend, and you can't have vendors marketing an event like this. It just, I am the marketer at Emeritus. I know what I do there. You can't have a vendor, I wouldn't ask Cisco to come in and promote an event that, or whatever my food service vendor is, promote an event that I'm having. You guys should really come to the prime rib dinner. It doesn't work that way. Marketers are the people that market these things. And so that's one major thing that I have on my mind as a member of the Monroe Chamber of Commerce Board. Good intentions, great ideas, wonderful giving back to the community. I absolutely love that. Unfortunately, it did come on the heels of the fair, and everyone in Monroe attends that fair. And all of those concerts, there have been great concerts over the years, there have been rained out concerts over the years. You never know what they're going to like. People that you think are going to go to a huge concert at the fair, there's 200 or 300 people that show up. And then there'll be some random person that nobody really knows that well, and there'll be thousands of people. So it's unpredictable in that portion of it. And I think with an event like this, with this kind of cost, I think my head was in the sand a little bit just because I didn't realize the costs that were involved in this. And I think that any of my residents, people that support the city of Monroe, pay their taxes, would not, if they really knew the background story on this, they would not be in favor of it. I think you can pass out flyers. I think you can do a large event like this, but I don't think you can plan it in this amount of time. Not something this big. At Emeritus, we're planning for Christmas right now. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're planning for Christmas already?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to provide public comment? Please state your name and address for the record again. Thank you.
I am going to express something similar to what they did. I guess my feeling is, on the festival last year, public sentiment was placed by non-attendance. Now, we have a very fickle society here in the fact that, hey, you know, home is where the heart is, and unless the weather's really good, people tend to hibernate at home. So unless you got a guaranteed really good weekend, people are not coming out. I hate to say that, but that's just the way it is. So when I had heard the numbers and that there was potential that you guys were going to put even more money into it than last year, people where I come would call it a dead dog, what you guys are investing in, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So if you want to be sensible and try to encourage other people to come on board, my incentive is to say, okay, this is how much money we spent last year. We're going to give you 10 or 15% less this year and put more of it of the burden on you to come up with. And if they can't come up with enough to make up the difference, then really how much of an incentive is there really on the parts of the people that really want to do it to actually have the function? That's my thing about that. Also, I came down to the city of Monroe. I'm a numbers person, I'm a full charge bookkeeper, and I stayed through the budget presentation, and I had asked for a full detailed budget. To me, when I look at this, this is a summary. Is there some sort of rules or regulations against a citizen coming in and asking for a full detailed budget? If a person perhaps on the outside perhaps has some suggestion to council members on items that they look at, that they think they might tweak, or think that you can look at and say, hey, I think other cities are doing something different, you might want to look at that. I mean, is that even a possibility?
So, what I would like to do is have you talk with Diane and Gene and just make certain that you've got the detail that you're looking for. So So it is a public record, and therefore I think it may just be an issue of how much detail your expectations are.
And I suspect these are pre-printed items, and they were handy.
They may be.
And so I guess if a person comes in, even if they have to wait for it, I mean, that would be fine. But if a person is looking for some detail, that would be great. And then I also wanted to suggest, too, to the city, that when you're having special functions like this, like the readings and the open forums, if instead of just having a week, if a person could have 2 weeks' notice in the paper instead, is that even possible?
Are you talking about the public hearing for the
business
licenses?
Yes. Yeah. Is it possible?
It was 10 days on the notice.
Right.
Is that our standard?
But that's 10 calendar days, right? Not 10 working days?
2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks.
Okay, because I hadn't seen it before last week. So I just didn't think that there was enough notice to the public. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Anybody else? Okay. Public comment is now closed. We now have a need for an executive session. What we're going to do is, so that everybody who might want to stay can stay in this room, we're going to locate to another room. We're going to move into, without objection, we're going to move into executive session for pricing of property, pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little c. We will be in there for 15 minutes. Going on the clock on that wall right there, we will be back by 8:45 unless somebody comes out to announce an extension. Okay? Thank you. Yeah. Let me know when you're ready. Okay, we're back in session. With council's permission, I'd like to amend the agenda to add one item, which is a presentation.
It is market information just for future pricing reference.
Okay. Do I have a motion to add that to the agenda?
So move.
Second.
I have a motion first from Hanford, second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Agenda is so amended. Please come forward and present that. Thank you.
Jane Lanford, 1420 Fifth Avenue, Suite 2200, Seattle, Washington, 98101. Thank you for the time, Council. I'm just going to hand this around because there's nothing for everybody to take a look at. There you go. So this is actually follow-up to a Council request, just to keep them updated on properties on the market kind of throughout, we'll call it IU's north of Woodinville, and into parts of Arlington, just so that you can be kept apprised of other things that are on the market in terms of land. And so this is just that information. Encapsulized, most of the information is actually already public record. If you wanted to go to either the brokerage firms or some of the properties are posted, easily found. And just a quick little run through on the front, all I did was take fairly three pertinent pieces of information from each flyer, we'll call this the Cliff Note version, and ran, I did do an exhaustive list, but this will give you just a picture of some of the things. And I can run through them very quickly if you'd like me to, following the flyers. If there's questions, I'll answer them to the best of my ability, but this is just more for you in terms of market information. So would you like me to run through them, or would you like to digest it on your own time?
What's council's pleasure? Digest it on your own time or go through it?
Digest.
Okay, I see heads going digest.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is a student representative report, and we don't have any student representative report tonight. Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp isn't in the room right now. The next item that we have on the agenda is the consent agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. All those, any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Next item is new business. Chief Quinzer.
In your
received some memo from me and some information on traffic enforcement alternatives. In the past 3 years, the school's own photo enforcement data has reinforced the fact that the city of Monroe has a significant problem with speed in our school zones. Three options have been presented in the memo that I attached, they're there for the council's considerations in regards to this issue. I'm not going to, unless you want me to, read the memo into the record as it is on the website. Anyone can look it up. I had the opportunity to present this information and answer some very good questions on Monday at the Transportation Committee meeting. And I'm here to answer any questions you might have on this particular item.
Thank you. Before we begin, please let the record show that Councilmember Camp is in the room now. Came in during the presentation. Councilmember Hanford, you have it.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief, for all the information here that you're bringing forward. A couple of thoughts. You know, we've gone down the camera road, and you know, we had them we cut those off because of what the citizens voted for, and so financially speaking, I think probably reinstating the school zone cameras would make the most sense financially. However, since we did put that to a vote two times, and the will of the people in Monroe is to remove those, I remember talking about this during the campaign season about you know, the school zone cameras themselves weren't necessarily the problem. It was the red light cameras, which they all kind of got lumped in together. Excuse me. So I'm not, at this point, I'm not in favor of doing anything with cameras for the time being. Maybe down the road, a few years, if we are still having an issue, then I would be open to pursuing that. But since we just had those votes and we just had them turned off, I don't think it would be the right thing to do to try and bring this back and re-explain everything. The motorcycle officers, I think it's a great idea to do that. I definitely don't want to do any nothing, option three. So I'm in favor of option two. I did, however, have a couple of concerns, and I'm not sure, hopefully you can clear up the understanding. And I meant to drive all the school districts before the meeting, but I forgot and I didn't have time. But it seems like there are school zone areas that have a sign that says speed limit 20 when children are present, and other ones have when the light is, when the signal is lit up, and other ones have during school hours or something like that. And it seems like there's a huge inconsistency, and I've heard from several residents quite a bit about how we're not consistent. And like I said, I wish I would have had the time to drive and check them all, but myself have been, you know, confused because, you know, it's 4 o'clock or 4:30, whatever time, there's not a kid in sight and the yellow light's flashing. And I'm thinking, why are we slowing down for no one? So maybe you can address...
Well, first of all, the state law reads, it does not read when children are present. And We have all the school zones that we enforce have signage on them that states the school hours and also states when the lights are flashing. The two particular school zones that we had photo enforcement cameras in were walked schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use, I'll refer to Frank Wagner first. You could see children at any hour walking to that school. And on top of that, you would also see children from Monroe Middle School walking at different hours than what the Frank Wagner children would be at. So that's why those particular hours were set in conjunction with the in discussion with the school district. The Fryland is also a walk-to-school school, even though school buses show up there. They're transporting children to Maltby and to Hidden River.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also on a very busy thoroughfare. You probably couldn't build that street there if the school had already been located there, but it was already in place. You could always build a school there, just like the prison. You couldn't build a prison next to the school, but you could build a school next to the prison. And that particular Frylands is this school that we received the most complaints from the crossing guards. Mm-hmm. And this was after they had put up the speed limit sign. That radar sign, and it was in place approximately a little over a year prior to the photo enforcement cameras going in place, and we were still continually getting complaints. Once the photo enforcement cameras were in place for, approximately a month after they were in place, we didn't get more complaints on it. But that's why the flashing lights are there, that's why the hours are posted. In those particular areas. And we tried to remove signs, as far as I know, that said when children are present, because there's no statute that enforces that particular statement.
Okay, so just to clarify, it's, what, 7:30 to 4:30, or can you know?
I don't know the exact, I know they're a little bit different between the Frylands and the Frank Wagner School as far as actual hours.
Okay. So the law is when, during those hours and when the light is flashing,
yes.
Both have to be occurring?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
And the reason the light is flashing on days there's no school is not in session, such as a teacher day, something mm-hmm. where you won't see the lights flash. So we have them programmed in conjunction with the school district's schedule.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next up, we have Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Apologize for being delayed a little bit. This was presented to the Transportation Committee last night. Was there a report from the Transportation Committee that I missed before I came in? Was there going to be?
Well, council member reports tonight.
No, I meant regarding this issue now. No? Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay. I got a few questions, and this goes over all the information presented, and I appreciate the document you set out. I want to start with the patrol cars. This is something I've always wondered about. Frylands, you can't park a patrol car there safely or something. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. At the other schools, can you park a patrol car? I mean, like Frank Wagner, I assume there's a big parking lot.
Yes.
You know, high school, the other areas. So Frylands really is the only issue in terms of parking a patrol car during school hours. Has this ever been looked at, modifying the street with the school district so you could park a patrol car there? Brad, you might have an answer to that.
It's never been talked about.
It's never been talked about? I mean, I don't know if there's issues with the school district since they own the property, but
the right of way there, just the only thing is, there, I'm not sure about on the side with the school,
okay.
Or not a bit, but on the opposite side, the east side of the road, and we'd be able to put sidewalks there if you were able to bulb out, or the patrol car, you wouldn't be able to have sidewalks there. But.
Okay, I'm just, I don't know. I just, that's one of the issues I'd like to see addressed before we consider this. Is it possible to modify it, since it's the only site that I've heard of that has the issue with the patrol car being on site? So that's item one. The second item concerns the motorcycles. Now, you mentioned in your note that there's no manpower increase for 2015 or 2014. 2015, there may be an increase, I assume, or your speculation?
An increase request for manpower, but it would not be based on the motorcycle.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That clears that up. Now, just for my information, average cost of a motorcycle plus equipment, and how many motorcycles would we need?
Two.
Two, and?
$25,000 for the
bike?
Motorcycle fully equipped.
Okay, and then we'd have equipment for the motors for the officer helmets.
Yes, and the MCS funds for both.
Okay.
Do you want to know what it is for a patrol car?
Sure.
$43,000.
Well, we have those, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
We have to purchase more, though.
Well, that's. Yes, we do. That's fine. I do appreciate it. I just want to point out, I had a discussion a few years ago with someone I consider very knowledgeable about motorcycle patrols, and they explained that there may be issues with shift staffing, that if you have, the way it was explained, if you had a canine unit, a motorcyclist, a motorcycle officer, and a patrol officer, the patrol officer may be spending a lot of time driving prisoners or whatever from point to point. I don't know if that's a consideration or if that is an issue.
I'm very glad that you brought that up, because that was one of the questions in the committee.
Okay, great. That's why I was hoping we would have a transportation committee report.
And that could be a problem.
Okay.
But if it gets to be a problem, then that officer will come off the motorcycle, and we have some standby cars that they would operate that day.
Okay. Thank you. I also, speaking to this person, have weather concerns. And I'm paraphrasing this. I was told that in the summer, everyone wants to be a motorcycle officer. In the winter, not so much. So, and we just came off what appeared to be a monsoon for the last month. So school days are winter days. So how would we approach that? That would be a concern. Weather's going to be an issue for the motorcycle officers. I have no experience with it, so I don't know how that is handled in other companies or other cities that have motorcycle officers. Would they be in a patrol car during those times? And again, that's an issue I'd like to see addressed. Are there any, apparently there's going to be additional insurance or liability issues that we'll need to consider, right? I mean, you fall off a motorcycle, you're going to get hurt. So are these covered? Areas I'd like to see. I didn't see this in the information that was presented. That's why I was curious about it.
You want me to start answering?
Do you have answers?
Yes.
Have at it.
Sure. The question about weather-related.
Okay.
We are going to institute a policy that the State Patrol has.
Okay.
They will ride that motorcycle, rain, shine, daylight hours, and unless it's 35 degrees or below.
Okay.
If it's 35 degrees and below, then we have backup cars that they will be able to operate in. They will, as I said, when it's raining, they understand that you wouldn't believe the people that we have clamoring to do this job. Mm-hmm. And they understand, in fact, they're filling out the requests during the monsoons we were having this last week. So you understand that they will be out there working in the rain. It's not the most pleasant in the world, but they understand it. And I have experience with the motorcycles.
Washington State Patrol, right?
Yeah, it might have been when it was prior to 1950 or something. But, I do have experience. I rode motorcycles for about 5 years. And it is enjoyable, but a person has to be very motivated in order to do that. And when we make the selection of who we would choose to be our motorcycle officers, They're going to be workers. They're not going to be individuals who want to go around for a joyride all day because it's nice and they look cool in their uniform, I guess. But another thing, the reason we selected two, because our officers work three on and three off, and during the school year, that way we would normally have the full week, the school week covered, and a little bit into the weekend too. So that's why we chose that. Insurance, WCIA will insure us just like they insure many of the other cities for their motor units and the like. Something as far as not answering.
No, I think you've hit most of those. I don't see anything else on that one. The last point, you mentioned the issue with the traffic cameras, and I know this has been an issue that we've bounced back and forth, and it's more of a comment than a question. I have heard responses from citizens both for and against reinstating the traffic cameras in the school zones, and perhaps, and I was hoping the Transportation Committee could look at this, perhaps we could put up another advisory ballot and put it to rest once or for all. If the people of Monroe would be willing to accept traffic cameras in school zones, great. If not, it's settled. Your proposal for the motorcycles, with a little fleshed out and with a little more fleshing out, I think would be good. I still would like to know if there's any possibility of putting a patrol car in Frylands. Again, if that's the only place where you have a parking issue, maybe a little bit more case information for a motorcycle patrol. Eventually, Monroe will get large enough to require or really have a need for it. I'm not sure we're there yet, but I'd like more information.
Well, I think part of the issue at Frylands is that there's no shoulder or no place to put a shoulder as far as for an officer to work a unit.
A patrol car.
In that area. A patrol car.
Right.
And when you work with a radar or laser, you have to be somewhat straight on, and I don't want to tell stories out of school here, but use a radar at an angle. It isn't necessarily going to give you a correct reading.
But again, that would be a parking or an issue where the city and the police department could work together and determine if it's even feasible or even possible to put a parking spot for a patrol car on Frylands. Right.
And when they have worked it, the officers have sat in the left turn lane there to go into school, and I told them that's
right.
Not a parking place.
Right. That's as it stands right now, but I'm talking about the addition of some parking median or some place where a patrol officer could sit. At least have it reviewed. That would be my opinion.
And in reference whether the city is at the point where they can utilize motorcycles, growing it up, I would guarantee you that within 6 months, when's Thanksgiving? Seven months? Something like that. There will be heavy enough traffic up on Kelsey that if there was a fender bender there, the only thing that would get to that accident would be a motorcycle, be able to work its way through.
And if that's the case, if I could see more information, that would help me. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Chief, thank you for attending yesterday and answering a lot of these questions. One that came up since yesterday for me was the replacement of the motorcycles versus a patrol car. I mean, how often would a police force with a motorcycle have to how often would a motorcycle have to be replaced versus a patrol car?
It would probably be about the same, time-wise, probably about the same.
Okay. So on that level, they're pretty much equal then as far as aside from cost. Okay. looking over the stuff again last night after the meeting, and the one thing that really still stands out is, you know, the motorcycle officers, they're going to be assigned to these school zones. But if and this is, if I'm understanding correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but if something happens, they have to respond. Those officers are going to respond, so they're taken out of the school zones, essentially, to respond to other incidents, whether it be accidents, burglary, whatever. So hopefully that doesn't happen very often, and it's very unlikely that would happen very often. But things that we are talking about, school zone safety, it makes me more comfortable to have something, someone there to patrol the whole time. The cameras in school zones, I mean, like many of you probably heard, for me, I heard, red light cameras, do away with them. School zones, not necessarily a bad idea. In fact, frankly, I was asked about them, and I personally don't oppose them in school zones. I think the statistics of the number of violations that you included in the packet speak to how effective those were. The motorcycle option, I think, is a great option to certainly consider. My concerns, again, with that, just to keep in mind, is there may be the chance that those motorcycle officers aren't going to be there because of responding to other incidences. There's the department can support the manpower this year, but is that going to be something that we have to look at every year, continuously look at, just like with staffing levels across the board? I mean, are we going to have to continuously review that and make sure it's supported? You don't get that with the other option. You don't have to do that with the other option. So,
may I
yes.
interject something? With the photo enforcement, you have two school zones that you can utilize, and the motorcycles can move from school zone to school zone. There are other schools that have asked for the photo enforcement in the past, and because of the initiatives, we said that at that time we were reluctant to do that, and that's one advantage to the motors, that they'd be able to work different school zones. And I think we have at least six in the city, and we're working two. But I will tell you this, that if you expect the voters to produce, 5,200 violations in 1 year in the school zone, that's not going to happen.
Sure.
It would be physically impossible to do that.
Sure. Okay. So, thank you. And I do like the suggestion of, do we put this up for advisory again, and just school zones, yes, no, and then be done with it and then vet it out. I definitely think that that's something we, maybe discuss a little further as well, but we got two great options here. I could go, honestly, I can go with either one. I think both of them are good. The motorcycles can certainly help us with other parts of the city as well. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Gamble, you're up next.
So I think the thing, for me is that we don't have something in place right now. I mean, we have all these statistics in front of us, and I would throw out there, I mean, we're looking at statistics in the school zones. I would hasten to guess that the chief could provide his data in regards to the red light cameras and a lot of statistics that would tell us the amount of infractions and red lights that were run at that particular intersection. So for me, you know, we can talk about, hey, we need more information, we need this, we need that, which is all good. But if we're waiting to put stuff out to a public vote and that sort of thing, and we have data that stares us in the face that says we need to do something, do we really want to sit and wait for 6 months and something to happen in the meantime? You know, that's, you know, so when I look at, you know, that's really, you know, underlying for me, that's underneath it. And I look and you start looking at dollars and you start looking at $25,000 for a motorcycle as opposed to $45,000 for a car. I know the chief has vetted out the motorcycle piece part, having been a motorcycle officer, and I'm still a motorcycle enthusiast to this day from that perspective. So, I mean, I am very much for, you know, option two, that we do need to move forward with something. We need to take some action now because we have the data that's in front of us, and one of the biggest things that we are chartered with is the public safety. This is probably the paramount, you know, in the school zones. I do like the, you know, the suggestion, you know, in regards to, you know, hey, is there a, you know, advisory vote in regards, you know, to the school zones. I will say though that, you know, we're in this predicament, and this is exactly, in my opinion, why the city pushed so far, you know, to go to take it to court. That when you govern by initiative in regards to items of public safety, you get put in this, that you get put in this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's exactly why we, you know, the city did with what we did in regards to, so that we could show the public, you know, this is something that, you know, hey, if we all voted, you know, we raised the speed limit, or we lower the speed limit to 35. No, well, I want to run an initiative. I think it should be 55 everywhere, Chief. I mean, that's right. So anyway, that's my thought. I'm all for getting more, you know, more information. We can run an advisory vote if everybody, you know, we all deem necessary, so that we get the, you know, the word of the people in regards to that. But we need to do something now. So whether it's reinstituting the cameras in the school zones, because we have the ability to do that, or if we go option two and we put two officers towards policing those particular zones as a priority. That's my thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments, because I'm thinking along the same route there. We have an issue. We've known we've had this issue. That's why we had the lights in the first place. It seemed to have been successful, but now we're back to square one and we need to do something. I don't think the cameras are going to be an option at this time. A couple things. You know, I was interested in this when I first saw it. I thought, that looks possible, but I had some questions, and after we talked yesterday at the mm-hmm. transportation meeting, I was even more for this, actually. Some of the things are, you know, yeah, you're getting a force multiplier here. You're getting two officers for just a little bit more than what one vehicle would cost, you know. $43,000 for just one car, $25,000 for two motorcycles. They'll be on, their shifts will be, they won't be paired up. They can be spread out, so you get better coverage with them. The cameras only cover two school zones. The motorcycles can cover all the school zones, and they can rotate through there, so everybody can get covered. And one of the other questions I had for the chief was, do you have a parameter for success or failure of this program down the road? When do you, you know, what do you see as, or do you have parameters that you would set up and say, this is working or this is not working? And which he had answers to, and I was satisfied with those answers. The bottom line being, this isn't a carved in stone issue. This is somewhat of an experiment or a trial, and we're not beholden to it. It's not something we have to stay with for years and years and years. If it works for us, that's great. If it doesn't work, we can go back to something else. But at least, my thinking is, we have an issue. It's a historical issue. It needs to be addressed. And this is the motorcycles is a viable method for dealing with that immediately or relatively soon, I think we can go move forward in some of the other ideas and see if people, how people do feel about that. But, you know, one of the other things I heard back during the camera debates was, why don't you just hire more police and have them patrol it?
That's
you
exactly
know,
right.
How many people, you know, times did we hear that? Okay, we can do that. We've hired several new officers, and I'm all for that. Let's patrol that. I see the motorcycles as probably a more efficient way of addressing that specific need in those different areas. So I'm excited about that. The more I thought about it, the more it seems to fit into place. So I'm supporting it.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. I'm going to just kind of highlight a couple things other council members had said. Councilmember Gamble and Councilmember Hanford, I agree we can't do nothing. That third option doesn't work for me. I'm just looking at these statistics. 2011, 3,213 violations at Freilands. 2012, 2,237 violations. 2013, 1982 violations. Frank Wagner, 1485 in 2011. 2012, 3,329 violations. 2013, 2,780 violations. I mean, clearly there's a problem. Clearly the longer we don't do anything, you know, it could create a serious issue. So I don't think option three is an option. It's not an option for me. I agree with possibly going out for an advisory vote just on the school zones and seeing if that would be any different. What I heard in the community too was similar to what Councilmember Rasmussen heard, that there might be people who support that versus red light cameras, that had a very negative perception about red light cameras. And I know that the red light cameras had maybe 2,000 violations. It was significantly lower than the 5,200 of the school zone one, I believe. It was much lower, the red light camera violations, which actually surprised me. I assumed that people would be slower in the school and there'd be less violations and more of the red light, but it was the opposite. When out campaigning, people brought up that very same issue. People that were against traffic cameras said, I would rather you hire a couple more police and have police traffic. So this is that option, is to have a couple of motorcycle police out there. And I agree that they might have more accessibility and you know, other traffic issues besides just the safety zones for kids or the schools. But my biggest issue about going to the advisory vote is the timeline. I mean, that's down the road. I think we need to do something now. So I'm going to vote in favor of it because we can still move forward. Even if we have two motorcycle police out there patrolling, even if the advisory vote comes back positive to have traffic cameras in the school zones only, you could put traffic cameras in the two walking zones and have the police, the motorcycle officers, be able to patrol the other school zones, which currently, when we had the traffic cameras, we didn't have that. So I think there's options. So I will be voting in favor of it tonight. Thanks.
Okay, that's all that I had for council lights. What's council's pleasure on this? Councilmember Hanford?
There's no motion listed, so are you needed a motion tonight?
So there are two things. So there's discussion and direction regarding the three options presented for council's consideration. There's also the alternatives to the requested action, which would authorize the police department to work with the operations manager to prepare and send a request for proposal to purchase two motorcycles and equipment, ...
Okay.
So if council wanted to, you could go to the alternatives to requested action. You could also make a motion or just by consensus direct one of the other two options that are there, so which would be nothing or...
Yeah, then I'll move to authorize the police department to work with the operations manager to prepare and send a request for proposal to purchase two motorcycles and equipment. to address public safety and traffic concerns.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, and I have a second from Councilmember Cuddebeck. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I'd still like to have more information about option 4, which is the fixed parking at Fryland, so we can put a patrol car there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-1. Next item on the agenda is, thank you, Chief. Next item on the agenda is new business number 2, AB 14046. This is approval of an ILA with the Snohomish Conservation District for the purpose of providing public education and conservation services. And the staff member presenting this would be Jacob.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes. The purpose of the local chapter 2.4, the first portion, is to relieve one of the many requirements that are placed upon the city by the NPDES, stormwater discharge permit, by providing public education for students that reside in Monroe and go to school in Monroe. The second portion of the interlocal is designed to allow for a stormwater quality discharge improvement project that has been coordinated with Snohomish Conservation District, the other partnering agency in the interlocal. And the project is actually slated to be in the northwestern corner of town near the YMCA and also the McDonald's Shell Station area. Behind that, there's some blackberries and actually quite a diverse stormwater flows out in that direction. There's also a wetland across the Fredland Boulevard further to the west that is fed by one of those ditches there. Any questions or feedback from council on this? I'll take those now.
Okay. Council, questions or what is your pleasure on this? Okay, I'm not seeing any lights. Okay, Councilmember Cuddebeck. It was going to die.
I will make a motion. Authorize the mayor to sign an interlocal agreement with Snohomish Conservation District and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Yeah, I have a first from Councilmember Cuddebeck. I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 3. This is AB 14047, approval of resolution 006/2014, supporting the Million March Against Child Abuse. And this is this you?
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Kevin, you're presenting.
Thank you. We received the email from the March Against Child Abuse that they will be at Speedway on Saturday, April 5th, 6 p.m., marching, I think, 3/4 or 3/8 of a mile during the races that evening. I'm not sure that I can attend, but I wanted to, as they asked in the email, asked for support from cities, businesses, churches, schools, things like that. And in so doing, I wanted to voice our support as a city. So that's the motion. The motion will be, I move to approve resolution number 006/2014, expressing support for the Million March Against Child Abuse.
Second.
I have a first and I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Hanford, thank you very much for bringing this forward. Do I have any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda is final action. This is adoption of ordinance number, this is AB 14048, adoption of ordinance number 004-2014, amending chapter 1310 MMC pertaining to sewage pretreatment definitions and requirements, second and final reading. Is this Jacob?
Brad.
Oh, Brad, sorry. Oh. Go for it, Brad. Yeah.
This is, we talked about this last week, the first reading. This is clarifying the requirements for when grease interceptors are required at new businesses. And if you don't have any questions, I request that you have this as a second reading and adoption of that ordinance to amend chapter 13.0 of the Municipal Code.
Thank you, Brad. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 004-2014, amending chapter 13.10 of the MMC as it pertains to sewage pretreatment.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cuddeback. I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Next item we have is council member reports. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing to report. Just want to say I appreciate each one of you, and I enjoy serving with you as we work to make the best decisions for the city as we can. Thank you. Thank and you. Happy St. Patrick's Day next Monday.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And go Brock.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen is going to report for our Transportation Committee, so I'll defer that to him. But I had some good news. I attended my son's school auction Saturday night, St. Michael's School in Snohomish. And I don't know if many of you have been to school auctions before, but I bought a golden ticket raffle, which mm-hmm. means that if you win the golden ticket, you can pick anything on the live auction. Mm-hmm. So I won the gold ticket. And I got a family trip to Cabo. So I've never won anything like that. So ended up spending quite a bit of money at the auction anyways. But anyway, so that was good news. I was excited.
Cool.
Not necessarily cool. Council business, but I might miss a meeting.
Or two.
Or two.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Sure. Thank you. The P4 committee met yesterday. We had an outstanding meeting. Reviewed the resolution in support of the Monroe to Snohomish Centennial Trail Extension, and we'll be bringing that up for council consideration on March 25th. We did have the conversation with Chief regarding the traffic enforcement cameras and motorcycle alternative, and, which we discussed earlier this evening. And then we also had a lengthy discussion on street funding mm-hmm. and with Diane, and there's a lot of information coming in regards to that. And actually, on the March 25th meeting, I believe, we'll have that to council as well. I believe council was included in the agenda emails, or was it just?
Council is included in the agenda emails.
Okay. So in the email with the agenda items, there was a 2014 work plan that in the previous meeting the committee had established as possible items to discuss and kind of vet out. And we spent part of the meeting yesterday reviewing those and kind of setting priorities to them. And on what comes up. Some of them are as soon as next month. Some of them are ongoing just because they relate to the comp plan that we're continuously discussing and so forth like that. So certainly more information to come on that. And Councilmember Cuddeback and Councilmember Davis, you have anything to add to that or to the meeting?
Maybe one question for council, and maybe I asked this of Jean at our meeting. At our meeting last month at the end of February, we had Envision Monroe in a full council meeting where we did the economic development for the comp plan update, and we participated in that. And so my question to Jean, I don't know if you found this answer out, would that be worthy? It wasn't included in the consultant's schedule, but I asked the question of why wouldn't council do that same thing at the end of March for transportation and that same, or be involved in that process for parks at the end of April and have our last council meeting being involved in that process around those two other very important issues. And So I don't know if you found that. So that was one of the questions at the meeting. So if you found that information, that would be helpful.
You have something to say?
Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, sir. I did find out, and staff is working with the consultant. They're talking about doing it around the same time or right after the storefront model that they have. Okay. Their intent was to get the citizens' feedback prior to and then bring it round robin after that. So that's what they're looking at. But they do not have a date scheduled as of yet, but it is in their thought process to do that.
Okay. I found it very helpful for the economic development since transportation is such a key issue for this community. Felt that it was important that council participated in that process more of a formal setting rather than just maybe attending on our own, but actually have it as one of our council meetings, same as we do the same for parks also in the following month in April. So thank you. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you, Councilmember Cuddeback. Councilmember Rasmussen, you still have the floor. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Kent.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing additional. It was a good meeting yesterday. So.
Okay, great. Councilmember Gamble.
Clocks have sprung forward.
I'm having them.
Yeah. Which also signifies the beginning of
lacrosse season.
Wow, jeez. Lacrosse already started. And it signifies the Little League spring ball. If you guys are, if you go out to our parks within Monroe,
you'll see lacrosse players.
The little ants have descended upon the baseball fields across Monroe, especially with the sun being out. The fields are in pretty dang good shape, Mike, I have to say, even with all the all the rain. We were out there the last couple days. And, yes, please pass it on because that had to be an effort. Although second base and shortstop could use a little more work. But other than that, we're good. They're in really good shape. So it's just a great time of year because those parks come out of hibernation. It's neat to see.
All right. Thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Fan.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you for coming. Councilmember, I'm sorry, Mike.
Please, no.
You just got off.
Council and Mayor, I got a phone call recently from the Key Club, and last Saturday, they just on their own decided they wanted to do a cleanup, and they did that in Lake Tide. They were on the lake, they started moving down the park and the road and the trail and whatnot. They gathered a whole bunch of trash and got rid of it, so they wanted me to know that. I don't have names yet, but when I do get the names, I just want you to know that was definitely for parks a random act of kindness. They didn't give us any notice, they just told us they did it. So I appreciate what they did for the community. The second thing is, just FYI, we are now advertising for the part-time seasonal parks positions. So there will be 4 or 5 month positions. They're posted on the website, the Association of Washington Cities site, and WRPA, Washington Recreation Park Association.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
I'm sorry, did you say it was on the city website as well?
It will be.
Okay, thank you.
It should be tomorrow.
Anything else for me?
I'm going to be on the splash, too, that cycles through. You don't want to say
a new splash?
It will be now.
Okay. Anything else?
We'll do a new splash.
Chief Windsor.
Nothing more.
Okay. Brad.
2 things.
Yes.
One is Walmart under construction. They will be closing the westbound lanes on North Kelsey, and everybody will be on the south side of the median so that they can put in the stormwater pipe, the big 30-inch culvert that goes underneath where the sidewalks go, and then put it in the sidewalk. So that'll be for about 6 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
And then the other thing is PUD is doing some electrical work on Main Street at Kelsey, and the signal will be down for 2 10-minute periods on Thursday, about 9 o'clock in the morning, the other one about noon.
And there's also resurfacing going on 203 south of McDoodle.
Yeah, right now they're working on the handicap ramps at the corners, and then they'll be, through the summer, be doing
repaving of Lewis Street is all the way from the Tolk River Bridge from the south edge of Carnation up to McDougal Street.
It's longer than I thought it was. Okay. Gene.
I just wanted to thank the mayor for doing an awesome job today representing the city at the chamber luncheon.
Thank you. Words. Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Oh, thanks. And I guess with that, thank you. So today I went to chamber, had a number of staff members there. Thank you all for showing up and being there. Paul gave a presentation on the 2015 comp plan update and encouraged our businesses here in town to participate in that update. My presentation to them was encouraged them to participate, but also talked about building bridges with our chamber, with our businesses here in town. Also focused on, as all of you know, our city is a job creator in a sense that more people come to work here than leave here to go to work. So we are a job importer, if you will. And I wanted the folks that were there tonight, or rather this afternoon, to know that that a lot of that is on their shoulders, the fact that they have confidence in our town and have come to set up their businesses here, and that we wanted to work in partnership with them to continue to grow that sector here in town. One of the things that I did over the weekend was I went out and took some pictures, and actually I got on Envision Monroe, and there isn't a whole lot of participation on Envision Monroe as much as I would have hoped would be on there, and I would encourage each of you to log in, you know, create an account, get in there and take a look at some of the pictures that citizens have put up there, not just me. And also take a look at the map. You have the ability on the transportation map to identify hotspots in town. I identified a number of hotspots that I was aware of from doorbelling and whatnot, and it's a very useful tool. The traffic engineers and whatnot, they've got their models, and they can tell where their models tell them the hotspots are, but, you know, where there are issues with sidewalks, where there are sight distance issues, where there are things that you know about that, you know, that a little camera on a pole or a little hose across a road won't catch, you really need to share that information with them. So I would encourage you to get on there and to do that. At our meeting on the 27th, I've encouraged staff to bring a laptop or two to the meeting on transportation so that people can be encouraged to use that. And at the same time, allow staff maybe to create a guest login so that if people don't want to create an account, staff can help them enter information into that. Again, that's all part of setting our policies and whatnot for the future, and that's important data. I think that's pretty much it for me. I'm going to go through the next week's agenda.
Okay. We have the draft agenda for Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we have Evergreen State Fairgrounds and Centennial Trail presentation. Tom Teigen, spelled T-E-I-G-E-N. We have the consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we'll have some more discussion on Monroe Music Fest.
Before we move off of that, based on tonight's discussion, would council like to have that on under unfinished business next week? Is there more information that you would like? In which case we'd want to kick that to the 25th so that more information could be collected, or do you want to make a change to the agenda and not have it on for next week? Yeah.
I think I'd love to hear Councilor McGeering's thoughts.
Okay.
I think it'd be good to discuss.
Okay. We'll keep it on. Does anybody want any more information that would require us to bounce it out one more week? Again, if there's more information desired, we may need to collect a little bit more information to answer your questions, Councilmember Camp.
The only question I'd have is, I'm sorry, what was his last name? Brock.
Keith Brock.
When Mr. Brock made a statement that he was going to have more information in 2 weeks, I don't know if it would be responsible to give him those 2 weeks and see what he can come up with. That would, in addition, would allow us the opportunity to have Mr. Gearing's input as well. That would be the only consideration, I think, for moving out 2 weeks.
Okay. What's council's pleasure? What's your agenda? Would you like to bounce it out 2 weeks or have it next week? 2 weeks? 2 weeks? Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to move that to the 25th then.
Thank you.
The other item, item number 5 on the consent agenda, approval of the amendment to the pay for performance policy. I'd like that moved to unfinished business, just so that there can be a presentation of the full body of council.
For this week?
For next week.
For next week?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right. Yeah. I just want to make sure I was...
Okay, so if you could just continue. Sorry about that.
Okay. Under new business, we have approval of resolution supporting the extension of Snohomish County Centennial Trail from Monroe to Snohomish. The draft agenda for March 25th, 2014. And we have 2 executive sessions in regards to potential litigation.
Does anybody have anything to add to the draft revised agenda for next week? Councilmember Hanford, did I already call on you?
No, I just wanted to say I have nothing to add more to the draft.
Okay.
And I'm fine with putting it out 2 weeks. But, you know, we are getting... The date just keeps getting closer and closer, and so I would say, personally, if I am not hearing a solid business plan with someone who's owning it and who either has sponsors already lined up, or is stepping up to that plate, then I'm not interested in putting out city money for something if it's not spelled out very clearly, because I think we tried to get that through today,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. That's just my thoughts.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I'd echo that sentiment. I mean, I think I've spoken on the record on this, you know, before. I mean, from a city contribution perspective and sponsorship, I would be, you know, I think it, you know, as far as the in-kind, you know, we look at what we did last year, there were a lot of costs associated that we absorbed through, you know, the city. You know, hey, there was no charge for the park, and there was no, you know, just some of the stuff that we can do being in the city. I would be all for, you know, that. But the outlay of cash, I mean, I was, last year when the pitch was made, there was, you know, I would before we do anything like that, it'd be, you know, hey, there needs to be X amount, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 from, you know, sponsors or corporate, you know, backers of it, and the city would just be, you know, from a parks perspective, and from a, you know, police, but, you know, whatever we want to, you know, go in that regard, but not stuff coming out of the. So that's my druther. So very much, if we don't have something in place by then, I'm.
By the 25th.
Yep.
Okay, Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Yes, I agree 100% with that. So there needs to be some definite plan on the 25th, else we need to move from that. And I guess I would also add that we need to have a common vision around the Music Fest, because what I heard tonight, and I was going to wait to kind of wrap it up when we talked about it next week, but one of the comments was, it was great that the city did this as a gift to the community, and that was the vision of the event. I sat on council when we discussed this, and that wasn't my vision of the event. I can't speak for the rest of council, but the vision that we talked about was economic development, about getting promoters who then hopefully we would recoup, if not all of the money that we laid out, most of it, and understanding that your first year you do take a loss at times, but it was told to us that it'd be easy to get sponsors, be easy to recoup, get promoters. That didn't happen, and you know, it just didn't happen. And so I think we need to make sure if there was any movement forward in whatever form we do, that we have a shared vision of what that means and what we're looking to achieve from the Music Fest. And that in 2 weeks, if we could have maybe the Parks Department or Mike come up with, if you don't do this, here's what we are doing or what we could do. Because we know we have 4 free music events at Lake Tai already that another group puts on for free to the community without money that the city puts out. That's going on. Is there an alternative if we don't do this big music fest and there isn't that business plan that we need? What's plan B? Does it mean it completely goes away, or is there something else that we can do in its place? So I guess for me, you asked about other information, and if we're waiting 2 weeks to have an alternative, it might not be just do it or don't do it. It might be do it or don't do it, but also we could do this instead. So that would be good information for me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember Cutterback. Councilmember Camp, and we are coming up on 10 o'clock. We've got 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I have to agree with Councilmember Hanford. Unless I see some significant planning, project marketing plans, but I did hear the a time frame of 2 weeks, so I'm willing to grant that, but it would have to be a significant item. Second, if we are at the end of the agenda, I would propose to make a motion to adjourn.
Did you want to go over the extended agenda, or are you good?
I thought we were finished with it.
We just had the extended one.
I'm good.
If you're good second. With it, we're good with it. I've got a motion. I've got a second.
Or we extend past 10 o'clock. What would you like?
Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you all. Have a great evening.
Speaking.
We are adjourned.
We seem to want to keep talking tonight. We. Say we. Tell us to be quiet.